Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host to the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our program today features a recent speaker. Hope you enjoy it.
Danny is an interesting character, and I say character because he is a character. He's got a great sense of humor, and he does a lot of things. I grew up with men. I went to all-boy high school, and I like to be around guys. I really do. That doesn't mean I don't like girls, but I really like to be around guys. And Danny's one of the guys I like to hang around with. So, Danny, why don't you come up here and tell us your story? Let's give him a big welcome, all right? Make like that's an ice cream cone and just put it right in front of you, okay?
All right, very good. By the way, the thing with the Bibles in the schools, I don't know if y'all know, but I've been seeing headlines recently that public schools here in Louisiana, they're all going to now post something as simple as, "In God We Trust." You know, these little bitty things may seem like nothing, but with a lot of credit to our current president, we're turning things at least in the other direction. Anyway, somewhere in the little town of Slidell, there's a one-armed pastor who's sitting on the front row thinking, "What have I done?" So, I'm a bit of an odd duck. I was born and raised in New Orleans. If you were to ask me where I grew up, my response would be, "I haven't and I don't intend to." But I was raised, and even that's not an accurate term, because I more or less raised myself. I was born and grew up in New Orleans. I was the sixth of seven children out of a big Catholic family. The seventh had a large part of who I am and in a lot of ways why I am such an odd duck. There have been four people that have been big influences in my life. My father, in sort of a punctuated equilibrium kind of a way, if that makes sense. He was there when I needed him to be there. Okay. In other words, my father was a workaholic. He was the vice president of the world's largest drilling company, which most of you in here have probably never heard of, Odico. The second person who has had a great influence on my life was a Master Chief Gunner's mate, U.S. Navy. Stepped in and helped mentor me in a lot of ways as a young man. Furthered one of my great hobbies, which is competitive shooting. The third would be that seventh child, which we'll get more into. The fourth would be a woman, and that would be Donna. And if you think I'm an odd duck now, can you only imagine what I would be like without the tempering effects of Donna? She keeps me straight. As I mentioned, my father was a vice president of the world's largest drilling company, Odico. I eventually went to work for Odico myself for several years. But my father had a great work ethic. He also happened to have a wife who was an alcoholic. My mother was a good woman, but she was not much of a mother. And I want to say, too, that a lot of testimonies have a lot of grief and heartache in them and everything. Mine does not. I thoroughly embrace the scripture that all things work for the good. And I am a grateful servant. And I apologize if I ramble a little bit. I didn't do a lot of preparation on this because 1 Peter 3:15 says that we should always be prepared to answer for the hope that's within us. And that's what my story is that in a combination of all things work for the good. As I mentioned, my father had a high title and everything. He was kind of a workaholic. He had the presence of mind to realize when his sixth son needed a little attention. And when he did that, he'd step in and we'd do some one-on-one things. I didn't have family who came to baseball games or, in my case, came to shooting matches, things of that nature. But I had a father who, like I said, he could recognize when his son needed some attention. And he'd take time out of his very busy schedule and he'd step in and give me some attention. Now, on to that seventh child. That is child number seven. That's my little brother, Rob. He is 5 years younger than I am. Rob and I were known as that retarded kid with the younger brother who has Down syndromes. Well, we moved when I was 8 years old, and something happened at that point, and all of a sudden, Rob became my child. I was his constant companion, constant guardian. Like I said, he was constantly with me. What stands before you is kind of an odd mix of the Little Rascals, Ward Cleaver, and who's the most serious, deadly serious person, you know, I don't know, Clint Eastwood. I'm kind of an odd mixture. The Little Rascals thing comes because of the fact that I had to raise myself, and I had the responsibility to raise a severely handicapped child. I had to wake him up, I had to dress him, I had to feed him, put him on the handlebars of my bike, ride him to the school bus stop where the St. Michael's bus would pick him up. I'd come home in the afternoon, have just a little bit of time to myself, have to go back, pick him up again. In the course of that, how would you say? The Little Rascals part comes because I kind of missed a lot of my childhood in the sense that having a severely handicapped child on your hip as your constant companion, it's not real conducive to pick up football games and things of that nature because Rob can't speak. He can dress himself. He can feed himself. That's about it. I pretty much couldn't let go of his hand. As I said, so that kind of accounts for the Little Rascals part is that I missed my childhood to a degree. So that's why I kind of refused to grow up. I'm gonna keep on being who I am. But it also instilled in me a great sense of responsibility. I picked up my father's work ethic, and pretty much all of his kids have. How would you say? We're all great employees, if that makes sense. Probably to our own detriment. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Colossians 3:23, which says, "Whatsoever thou doest, do it heartily as unto the Lord and as unto men." The whole work ethic thing and the situation with raising a little brother, whatever, it goes back to that all things work for the good. You know, sometimes, to kind of horn in on pastor's coming message, you know, sometimes God has you building an ark, and that ark is for you. It's your salvation. You know, my life has not been without heartache or trials. You know, you would think that being the son of the vice president of the world's largest drilling company, that I was privileged. Well, my father put us all through Catholic school. The rest we made up. I bought my uniforms, I bought my lunches. We were taught to be self-sufficient. You know, when the limousine broke down, which is, you know, my size 9 shoe blew a hole in the bottom of it, you know, we had to take care of ourselves. But again, like I said, all things work for the good. And, you know, many of y'all have been to my house, and you see, we have been blessed. We have absolutely been blessed. And so God is good. Through all of my upbringing and everything, like I said, when I said that I had to raise myself and my little brother, for some periods of time, my mother had a maid who would make dinner for us. Sometimes my mother would make dinner for us, but everything else was on us. As I said, I grew up in Catholic school, have kind of an analytical mind. Some of the guys in here know that I'm very much into creation science and things like that. Through just my thinking and my upbringing and everything else, I had kind of lost my way, and I had never really seen evidence of God in my upbringing. Again, not a lot of negative stuff, but just in the church that I grew up in, I didn't know God. I didn't know God as a real God. I knew God as a go to Catholic Mass and do your duty thing. Well, duty I knew all about. As a young teenager, I kind of just came of the mindset that there was no God. I became an atheist. I also became a teenage alcoholic. My grandmother was an alcoholic. My mother was an alcoholic. I have a sister who was an alcoholic. I guess you could say it was genetic. Well, in high school, I had a friend in eighth or ninth grade that invited me to go to a church that was not a Catholic church. Yeah, church? Girls. Oh, okay. So the very first non-Catholic church service that I ever went to was at Marvin Gorman's church. It was a woman speaker. It was a healing service. very, very different for me. Very different for me. Saw some girls I was interested in. But probably one of the largest life-changing things that ever happened to me was as a youth, as an atheist teenage alcoholic, I got invited to go tubing with this group of kids, this youth group. During this tubing trip, I came away with the impression that, wow, I just had probably the best time of my life, and I didn't hear a single curse word. Nobody was smoking. Nobody was smoking dope. Nobody was taking drugs. Nobody was drinking. Yeah, guys flirting with girls, but in a wholesome way. That left an impression on me. Again, back to that scripture, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to answer for that hope which is within you. What I saw in this group of youth was something that I wanted. And, you know, a lot of people, probably most people, I dare say, in this room, know the exact day and time when you got saved. For me, it was a process and it was a struggle. The alcoholism thing was an absolute miracle, because when I say that I was an alcoholic, I was not a social alcoholic like a lot of teenagers are, you know, become social drug addicts or social alcoholics. I drank by myself. I brought my booze to school. I had it, you know, hidden various places around the house. I didn't drink. Now, I did. When I'd go out with my teenage friends, they'd smoke their dope. I didn't do that kind of stuff, so I'd drink. But most of my drinking I did by myself. That hope that I saw within that group of youth, which I might add was kind of loosely led up by two ex-motorcycle tribalists. Now, if you think that you got to be bad to be in a motorcycle tribe, try to get out of one, because they will stone cold kill you. And they tried with these two. And one of them to this day is still a stone cold nut. They're both still serving the Lord. And again, back to that hope that I saw in them, I wanted it, and I wanted it bad. And Jesus Christ was the path to it. In searching for a steadfast belief, I just miraculously lost the desire, if you even want to call it that, to drink. And I say if you even want to call it that, because I hated being drunk, if that makes sense. I hated being drunk, but I just felt the need to drink. And anyway, I lost the desire to drink almost overnight. I had that desire to come to know God for real. And I struggled with it, but that analytical mind of mine, you know, when was the beginning? Who made God? Those sorts of questions, right? And I struggled with it, and I struggled with it. And as far as when I actually had my salvation experience, I can't tell you the date. I can tell you that it was 3:00 in the morning on a Monday morning when I couldn't sleep. And I turned over in my bed, and I had one of those alarm clocks with the little numbers that would flip, the little vinyl numbers that would flip. And it flipped 3:00, and when it did, a switch flipped in my heart, and I knew that God was real. Can I tell you the date? I can tell you the time and the day, but it was a beginning for me. I'm now a Bible literalist. Again, as some of the men here that I share emails with know about, you know, my searches through creation science and Noah and all that sort of stuff. I take this word literally. Again, the common theme, all things work for the good. I am so grateful for everything that has happened in my life. There has been no bad. I have not suffered great loss. I've not been abused. Whatever I am, whatever I've experienced, it's made me who I am, and it's been a blessing. And it will be a blessing. Again, grateful servitude is, I guess, what I would say defines where I want to go with my life. I'm always grateful. Again, kind of ties in with the creation thing. Man, I look up and I see a big, beautiful moon, and I can't help but thank God. I look up at the clouds. You know, I know the sunlight that's up above it. I see God all around me, and I can't help but be grateful. And likewise, through my upbringing, I can't help but serve. I can't help but share what I have. I love to serve. I suppose that's probably about it.
Yes. How did Jesus bring Donna into your life?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right. How did God bring Donna into my life? Through church. Through church. Actually, through servitude. We were both going to a little church on Airline Highway called Believer's Fellowship. That was after the Marvin Gorman fall and all that sort of stuff. I had known about her. I'm going to have to abbreviate this story. I had known about her through a young man, a very young man who was 18, who was living at our church, who was bragging about dating Donna and all that sort of stuff. And he wasn't, as it turns out. Anyway, he showed up one day with her when I had had a bad night because of him, putting air conditioning in the church building all night by myself, visited by the cop 3 times because I was drilling on a concrete building that happened to be adjoined to a bank. Yeah. And anyway, when Donna showed up with this young man, it was the first time I had ever been introduced to her. We didn't have high opinions of each other at that moment because I had a bad attitude and I had been told a bunch of stories that were not true by this young man. Fast forward, we have three children. She had 2 at the time, 2 young boys who were 8 and 5 at the time. I was a Royal Rangers leader. I fell in love with those 2 boys. Okay, now I'm going to cry. I absolutely fell in love with those 2 boys. And I decided, Mom's worth a second look. Mom can't be all bad. Mom was definitely worth that second look. And that's how I ended up with Donna. You know, I tell my boys all the time, you know, I fell in love with y'all before I fell in love with your mother. That's how I met Donna.
Thank you, Danny. That was just, I repeat myself, but I don't repeat myself because I have dementia or anything. I repeat myself because some things I just can't help but say over and over again. You'll never look at Danny the same way again because you know his story and you know how God rescued his life in a very unique way. You had all the ingredients for ending up in a ditch somewhere. Well, God had his eye on you. It's just an amazing story. And thank you for sharing that with us. What an amazing God saw a young boy and rescued him. And the other thing that I say all the time is Jesus will save your soul and the church will save your life. It's in a church that his life was impacted.
Thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. If you have comments about today's programming, something that you heard that was of interest to you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.